My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Xi Jinping, the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, indefinitely after the most recent demonstration by the Party Congress. However, we go to Xi Jinping early days of his first term from late 2012 in a new foreign affairs report by Matt Pottinger, Matthew Johnson, and David Feith, a translation of a speech that was given in late 12 and put in by a Chinese journalist in early 2013. In the speech, there are revelations. And I asked Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurie Institute, who has the Mandarin, to help me understand these critical terms. Why did the Soviet Union disintegrate? Why did the Soviet Communist Party collapse? An important reason was that their ideals and beliefs had been shaken. It's a profound lesson for us to dismiss the history of the Soviet Union and the Soviet Communist Party, to dismiss Lenin and Stalin, and to dismiss everything else is to engage in historic nihilism. And it confuses our thoughts and undermines the party's organization on all levels. Charles, a very good evening to you. You've read this document several times. You can imagine it in the Chinese. What do we learn about Xi, early Xi, not the two terms now to be indefinite Xi, not the 70-year-old, very rude man at the G20 meeting to the Prime Minister of Canada, but the early Xi, who was aspirational. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think that, you know, he wanted to have utter confidence in the interpretation of history that, Lenin and Stalin had over the Soviet Union, and regarded Gorbachev as a weak figure who wouldn't stick by the interpretation of how things must have been, despite, you know, ample evidence to the contrary. And I think that he had a similar feeling about Jiang Zemin, this two-ago predecessor who just died at age 96, that Mr. Jiang loosened ideology and allowed capitalists to come into the party and, went against the principle of utter state control of the economy. And so Mr. Xi at that time was a true believer in strict Leninism and expected that everyone else should tighten up on this ideological orthodoxy and not let, you know, the facts of human nature and facts of history that go against this very rigid interpretation interfere with China's governance. And he sees that weakness and lack of manliness, as he put it, in the leaders of the Soviet Union that proceeded over its demise, as having failed the destiny of history as he sees it. So he's a man who looks at history in a very rigid way, and in Xi's case, his notion of history goes way beyond the communist period into the ancient time of dynasties. And more recently, he's commented that the Chinese Communist Party has broken the cycle of dynasties because his surveillance state and great control over party life will prevent corruption from coming in and leading to the inevitable people's revolt. Recent events seem to be proving this conviction on his part wrong, and that may be why he's been so fractious in dealing with the Canadian Prime Minister and in general his insistence that anything that's going wrong in China in terms of demonstrations is entirely due to U.S. Instigators and not due to anything that the party is not engaged in perfectly.
You mentioned the late Mikhail Gorbachev. The speech also included this sentence, revelatory. A few people tried to save the Soviet Union. They seized Gorbachev but within days it was turned around again. This is the coup of August 1991. Mm-hmm. It was turned around again because they didn't have the tools of dictatorship. As you say, Charles, nobody was man enough to stand up and resist. The tools of dictatorship. I had never understood that a Chinese Communist Party leader would be that naked in his metaphors and make it that easy for us to say, this is a villain. Is this routine for them, the tools of dictatorship?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the standard use of language when you read it in the original Mandarin, which is the language which is directed towards the lower levels of the party and people in general, that Mr. Xi encapsulates the dictatorship of the proletariat and must be constantly vigilant against all counter-revolutionary and revisionist forces which seek to debase his leadership. So, you know, anyone that suggests that the COVID zero policy is leading to unacceptable pressures resulting in the decline of the economy and will eventually fail with rampant COVID spreading throughout the nation is someone who is somehow been perverted by foreign blandishments and wants to lead to a color revolution in China. So, you know, he certainly refuses to accept the idea that he should be revising his past policies and re-evaluating them, because the Chinese Communist Party is always, as the People's Daily Masthead used to say, great, glorious, and correct.
The reaction so far to the spontaneous demonstrations of protests across China last weekend, what is significant in the reporting right now is that there's been no massive arrests. There have been, to anyone's knowledge reporting on this, no massive brutality, which seems wise in one case because the protests abated naturally. Perhaps they'll come back. But also, it puzzles me because as I read about the protests, they were not asking for reform. They were asking for Xi to depart, something like learn how to swim and get out. In not responding brutally or massively, has he shown a weakness, Charles?
Well, I think that the response has been more subtle than sending in the police with guns and tanks to arrest people on sight. What we hear is that the Chinese are using sophisticated surveillance technology, including a combination of those facial recognition cameras and the ability to monitor social media in very sophisticated ways using artificial intelligence and supercomputers. And so they are coming one by one by one to the homes of people that they have identified as being instigators of the demonstrations. So, you know, people are simply disappearing, not being arrested or shot on sight. And that, you know, that seems to be a tool which Xi is able to use because of his massive installation of surveillance and other technologies that allow him to know what everybody is doing all the time.
However, that isn't a kind of demonstration of power that you could associate with the tools of dictatorship. That's almost a weapon that doesn't make a sound. It just disappears, and there are a billion people. So do you measure that this experiment, if that's what it is going to be as effective as what we saw at Tiananmen? We have a few seconds.
I think that the, as you say, the horror aspect has not been the same. We're not seeing, you know, bloody tank tracks across the square. But in terms of the intimidation of people, of course, this is very effective because you never know if you're in the demonstration, you can run away. This doesn't allow that possibility. But the next step, of course, will be if they cannot, you know, engage in the one-by-one process, if the protests exceed the capacity of the regime to address it quietly, that we will see violence and it will be on the YouTube, and we will know the true nature of Mr. Xi's rule.
Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.